the Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
Yes, it's the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. We're talking footy like you talk footy. This week, we're a booing-free zone. We're going to ask what's going on in the Melbourne department. We're going to talk about how good Geelong are going. And we're going to ask, does Lincoln McCarthy run the narrowest 11 in footy? My name's Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Rabs this week and also Ethan Meldrum over there.
That's me.
I did say we're a booing-free zone, but we're starting with some booing. Early, our legend of the week is Nathan Buckley.
And the winner of the Anzac Day medal is Scott Pendlebury of the Collingwood Footy Club.
Just on behalf of both sides, I want to thank the crowd.
Shame on anyone that booed a champion.
Now, whatever you make of that booing there, of that comment, Nathan Buckley, I'd have run through the Great Wall of China for him when he said that. Regardless of what you make of the actual circumstances, him sticking up for his player like that is just... What a great moment.
That would have taken some guts, standing up in front of, 90,000 people. It would have been, I mean, obviously a bunch of Essendon fans still there. To defend your captain like that, who just won the Anzac Day medal, put on, well, probably play one of the best games of his life. Awesome by Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. So we're going to leave all the booing chat there and we'll move on. Ethan?
They definitely boo Pendlebury.
You reckon?
No, 100%. It increased when they said his name. The way they carried on is actually ridiculous. We can end the booing chat there, but you're a disgrace.
Heater, we want to ask you, what is happening with Melbourne? Now, they are really, really struggling here. They looked like Carlton of last year going inside 50 on the weekend. What happened? What's happening?
Everything seems to take, 20 or 30% more effort for Melbourne than it does for other teams. And it's just the way they are at the moment. They're clearly unfit. I mean, if you look at go on to the Telstra track or whatever it is on the AFL app, and you see that Melbourne are actually getting outrun in every single game. Like the last two games have been, the five most players have been on the ground who have covered distance have been opposition players.
In every game. Is it a case of them coming back with the 15 surgeries? There's been a lot made of it. And then Stephen May coming back with some condition on him. Did they maybe enjoy making a prelim too much last year?
Maybe they did, and a few off-season surgeries wouldn't help, but their game plan is not working at the moment. They're just being shredded in transition, which isn't their game.
And then for some reason they're starting Clayton Oliver at full forward. I mean, surely...
Jake Melksham in the middle.
Yeah, surely if you're an opposition team, you look at it and you go, they're not playing Clayton. Are they tanking?
Who knows, mate? Look, I think this extended break will help them. They're 1-5. They've got a chance to reset now. If they don't beat Hawthorn, it is season over.
Wow, yeah. It's hard to see them beating Hawthorn on exposed form thus far.
Well, I'll bring it up, Rudy. The other end of the ladder, Geelong, absolutely flying. You must be cock-a-hoop at the moment.
Cock-a-hoop is very much what I am at the moment, Rabs. Thank you very much. It's not just... we've seen this from the Cats in the last couple of years where they'll be up and about early. They'll really spank some crap mobs down in Geelong and everyone will go, how good are Geelong? And you sort of know they're not that good. But this year, I think it's actually real. They look like comfortably the best team in the comp. They got the best... defensive setup I think I've seen from the Cats since those halcyon days, and they've also got a certain little 34-year-old genius who is just lighting up Cadinia Park.
How good was he on the weekend? It was fitting for the 2009 premiership reunion that he played like he was back in 2009.
Yeah.
Just everything he touched turned to gold. He had the ball on a string. Looks back at his best.
He still looks like one of the best users going inside 50 that you can that's ever been. He just every single kick inside 50 is just tinged with genius, and most of them ended up in Gary Rowan's hands on the weekend.
Who's also been a really good pickup for a bloke who was getting dropped from Sydney last year.
Yeah,
a Sydney forward line that is Lance Franklin and no one.
Yeah,
to go to a guy who's actually starting to take games by the scruff of the neck.
And even better than that, the dark red hair really contrasts beautifully with the dark blue hoops, doesn't it? He just looks at home in a Geelong jersey. I'm loving life.
Look on Rudy's face at the moment. He's got the biggest grin. Cannot wait for Geelong to, after setting up probably the best platform they have in a few years, to actually lose two finals this year from top of the ladder. Will be tremendous. That will be a good podcast.
Another straight sets exit for the Cats
from
here
first.
Again. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily rule it out. I'm sure that they'll get found out somewhere along the line. But at the moment, I'm just I'm just enjoying it. They look like what they did last year was literally just take all of their crap players and go, you guys go somewhere else and we'll just replace you with better ones.
So, yeah, Jordan Cunico.
Yeah. And Thurlow and Murdoch have all gone up there. They look like flag favourites at the moment.
Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah, them and Collingwood are probably the two. The Pies looked incredible for a quarter against Essendon. They were probably not the better side for the third three quarters, but it's sort of, they still deserve to win in the end, I think.
Yeah, agreed. GWS, I'd throw in the mix as well. Have got a win over Geelong at the Cattery.
Yes, that's true. That was a weird one.
That was a weird one. Every team's got a weird one this year.
Mm.
Yeah. Going right off West Coast. Two poor games in a row, but they're still a very good team.
They looked visibly hungover on Sunday.
They just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I did that game. I worked that game for Triple M, and I didn't want to be there. West Coast didn't want to be there. At Geelong, 4:40 on a Sunday afternoon. No, thank you.
Yeah, no matter how many private jets you charter.
No, exactly.
Still not going to be a comfortable surround, is it, for a Perth-based
Avalon
team.
You could literally fly and land in Moorabool Street, which is the next one up from Skilled Stadium, and you still wouldn't want to be there. It's too much effort. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to. Hats off, Geelong played unreal, but geez, when it got to the 7:45 on a Sunday night, I'm like, oh, I'm getting the F out of this place.
Well, the game was pretty much over at quarter time, wasn't it? Like you said, West Coast just didn't show up. And I think Jack Darling was actually still in Perth when the game kicked off. Speaking of the Cats, an ex-Cat now plying his trade up north, Lincoln McCarthy. Is he running the narrowest 11 in footy?
Now, explain this. I'm looking at narrowest 11. So is this like jumper terms or?
The jumper terms, yeah. So if you look at his 11 on his back,
right.
They're almost kissing the one and the one.
Right.
And you've got.
It's almost like a square.
Well, I would assume it would go on the broadness of the individual, wouldn't it?
Well, Jason Castagna runs a pretty tight setup at Richmond.
Have you analysed every single 11 in the competition?
As in his numbers are close together?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought Jason Castagna is one of the more broader shoulder players in the AFL either.
Oh, Georgie.
Maybe that's it. Who else wears number 11 that's a beast?
Tom Rockliffe has a very wide 11.
Yeah, but he's a brick.
Max Gawn's got quite a skinny 11.
Mm, yeah, and he's a thin man.
Mm.
I reckon David Zaharakis is running a really wide 11.
Yeah, well, he's not a brick.
I reckon you could fit a Lincoln McCarthy 11 inside a David Zaharakis 11.
Well, that's a fair point.
Well, if anyone wants to is doing a social science major at a university and you're looking for something to do your thesis on, I think we've got a really good option for you.
I think we do. The geography, would you call it?
The geography.
The trigonometry of footy 11s.
The Pythagoras theorem of footy jumper 11s.
I'd like to know what the actual thinnest 11 is in footy history. Well, certainly, yeah, in the last 20 years.
It'd have to be McCarthy.
I think it would.
There is no room between the one and the one.
There isn't.
Hit us up at Triple M Footy or at Rudy Edsel if you've got any option. Any
just hit us up at Rudy Edsel.
Yeah, the thinnest 11.
Keep us out of this.
I'll tell you who's running a thin.
Is it close to being a fat one?
It is. It literally is. Right. Or just if you watch footy in standard def, I imagine it just looks like a weird block.
Hmm.
And you, what's that? What even is that number?
Like, is that a dead pixel on my screen, or what's going on?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you who's running a thin 22 at the moment is the Sydney Swans. Now that's a
good
segue.
That's a segue. That's a segue.
They are really, really struggling. They look everything. You mentioned that Melbourne have to try 30% harder than anyone else. I think Sydney have to try 300% harder than anyone else to get anything done, especially without Buddy there. And they were just swept aside by an imperious GWS outfit. Where are Sydney at?
I said last week Sydney will finish bottom, and I'm sticking by that, and I'm reminding you guys every single week.
Bottom, like wooden spoon?
Yeah. Big call. You two can come up with your own fly wide doors. I'm going with that again. It's too good.
Well,
I don't know if they're worse than Carlton. Or worse.
Carlton's got a percentage of 90-odd.
Yeah.
They're close. If I can actually put it in fly wide doors terms, if Sydney will finish bottom, then Sydney will finish bottom. Just to tick it off.
Yeah, fair enough. Poor old Carlton on Sunday, 36 points ahead. You never felt safe. They never felt safe.
I didn't really get to watch it because I was at Skilled Stadium, I think is what it's called.
And Shell Stadium.
But it was on the TV above, and I just saw Hawthorn just continually kick goal after goal after goal.
After half time,
yeah. After half time. And I don't think it helped with Cade Simpson going off with injury because he's a general down back for him.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's pretty funny still. Like, even if it's
Hawthorn. Still get a lull out of it. Yeah.
Still get a lull.
Still didn't kick 100 points. The streak's back up to one.
I've generally laughed at Carlton's misfortunes over the years, but giving up a massive lead to Hawthorn isn't something I'd wish upon anyone, even Carlton. All right. We've had your flywire door, Ethan. Do you have one, Raps?
No.
Okay.
I can get one though if you go first.
That's all right. Well, I've got one.
If Rabs comes up with a flywire doors, then we can continue this podcast.
Yes, correct.
My flywire door for this week is not a big call. It's if Essendon beat Geelong on Sunday, then I will get many unsolicited Facebook posts on my wall taunting me by people I haven't spoken to for a long time who are Essendon fans.
They do that.
Yeah, a big call at all.
My big call actually is if North Melbourne lose to Carlton, then I'm assuming that Brad Scott may be in a bit of strife.
You may be.
In the immediate.
In the next 2 hours after the game.
Because they...
Literally during
the game. Don't forget about... He's come out today and said, we didn't recruit for the now. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Jared Pollock, Jasper Pittard.
Yeah. When you recruit Aaron blokes Hall. Who are closer to 30 than they are 20, you're recruiting for the now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Jasper Pittard managed to make that long sleeve jersey look real bad.
Yeah, real bad.
It's almost as bad as his foot skills.
Almost as bad as his hair.
Ooh, on those
and mustache. And
very positive notes.
And literally everything else.
Yeah.
We'll be back next Tuesday?
Yeah,
I'm so confused. These last 2 weeks have absolutely thrown me. If you haven't noticed, we're not our greatest podcast.
No. we're at the end.
We're at the end.
End of Footy Mania.
We'll be back next Tuesday to cast our minds over round 7, which of course kicks off on Friday night, Collingwood versus Port Adelaide. You can hear all the action from 6 on Triple M. And don't forget, it will wrap up Adelaide Crows versus Fremantle. I'm sure you'll be able to hear it somewhere on some Triple M station around the country.
Probably the Adelaide and Western Australia ones, yeah.
Yeah, and this has been another Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. Talk of footy like you talk footy, and we promise next weekend we will lift.